This recording will be for the regular meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education, held on November 4th, 2009 at Farron Elementary School, starting at 7 p.m.
We'll call this meeting order. It is 7:01. We're at Farron Elementary. And board members present are Nanette Tanner, Sam Singleton, myself, Marie Johnson, and Superintendent Citridge and Business Administrator Jared Black are here. Welcome to our throngs of people who are in attendance.
It's a lot busy last year.
It's just not the same when you don't have a floating one. Football team.
We had a work session just previous to this meeting wherein the independent auditor's report was given to us for fiscal year 2009. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I prefer that one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bottom of the third.
Okay, we were sent the consent items in our packets. Are there any questions? Do we have a motion on them?
I'll make a motion. We accept them as we've received them.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We need a motion for the approval of the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2009.
Is that motion?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
And along with that, I'd just like to publicly thank Jared and the office staff for what they have done to make it so easy and so accurate. It just
might indicate that there were no findings in the audit.
No, very well.
A clean audit.
I should have said that.
Yeah.
Yes, and we appreciate that very much and hope that you'll pass that along to your staff, people with whom you work. Names for approval.
I have two names that were recommended by Principal Larry Davis at Emory High School. These are volunteer coaches, swimming coaches. They're not paid, but they do need to be approved as coaches and get the background checks. Andrea Johansson and Tammy Oliverson. Davis has recommended them. I don't know that I know Andrea Johansson.
Is that Brock's wife?
Brock Johansson.
Okay. I should know him, but
it's a relative.
I do know Tammy. So I'd recommend the board approve those as a volunteer coach, swimming coaches for Emory High School.
Do we have any, are there any criteria, do they have to go through any training or anything?
They have to be water safety certified and also pass the background check.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I move that we accept
the form
for
and I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
We have a policy revision.
We have a revision to our bullying and hazing policy. This policy was just passed by the board not quite a year ago. And since that time, for some reason, the state office has completely redone their state board rule on bullying and hazing. I'm sure it's in response to legislation or legislators concerned who have said that if they don't change the rule, they'll pass legislation to deal with it. But the big change has to do with the training that's required in relation to, well, basically it requires that training, that we conduct training for all students who are going to be involved in extracurricular activities and their coaches or advisors. that training has to be on all forms of bullying, whether it's physical aggression, social, emotional, relational, cyberbullying. The problem is we don't have any training curriculum. I've asked the state office if they're going to do anything, and they haven't got any plans. They're working with High School Activity Association trying to find something, but so far we don't have any. But by December 1st, we have to have this policy, these components added to our policy. The other big change in it is not only the training for extracurricular activities, but the training that we conduct with our teachers and support staff has to include training on dealing with overt aggression, disruptive student behavior, and again, the problem is we do have some training materials, DVDs that we'll use. We have asked principals to go through harassment and bullying annually. But it's a huge component and a time consumer, and it's we need to do it, but it is going to create a challenge for us. But the policy is required by December 1st. I have made those revisions and added those components to the policy. If you have any questions about it, I'll try to answer them. I've underlined the changes. I think I also sent you a copy of the rule, the state board rule. Well, the other thing is that we have to maintain training schedules and participant lists. In other words, we have to have a record of when the training took place, and we have to have the signatures of the participants of the training, not only teachers and staff, but students and coaches, and that's not just athletes, that's clubs, drama, whatever.
Well, now, did I misunderstand? I thought somewhere in there said every 3 years was the
training. You have to repeat it every 3 years. You have to do it annually for new students or coaches, but it has to be repeated every 3 years. If a student is involved in it, they don't have to go through it again for 3 years.
3 years. Okay, that's
so in my mind, in 9 through 12, you're going to probably get it twice at some
point.
That's
kind of right.
What we're trying to find is a program, for example, if you had a good training program that was on a DVD that coaches or advisors could, before their first practice, could pull them together and show it before they start practice.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, we haven't had any luck. We did find a pretty good training DVD for faculty and staff that we've ordered that we'll ask each school to use in their first faculty meetings, which takes about 15, 20 minutes. And it's pretty good training. And we have ordered that, but we haven't found anything for students yet. But I would recommend the board approve the changes to the bullying and hazing policy.
Well, I'd make a motion that we approve them if you explain them to us.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I would like to see that.
I got to get my
nephew
first.
Okay. We have a copy in our office, too. We'll have a copy, so it should be here next
okay.
week.
I'd really like to see it.
Okay.
All right, we're glad to be here. Brian, the floor is yours. Mr. Dawes.
I answered the phone. So, well, I guess just to start out on tonight's presentation, just with the simple recognition of the passing of a spouse of one of our teachers preschool and whether she's faculty or staff, like she's part of our school family, and the passing was certainly unexpected and has created quite a somber feeling among our staff this week, and created some challenges in trying to figure out how to hold school and still have everyone who has been touched and has developed relationships to be at the funeral. And we will be making it through with a skeleton crew tomorrow. And we're happy to make those sacrifices for a good family. But certainly felt that, you know, that we're certainly all aware of it. And Darlene teaches preschool, drives by us, and we've had a lot of their children go through our school, and so there's been many contacts, and quite a lot. On with better news, we survived deer hunt and swine flu, wave one. Our attendance did hit some high. We did have one day where we had 102 students out. That was Friday of the deer hunt, and by Monday we were back down to 60 absent, and by Tuesday we were down to 42 absent, and kind of stabilized back to normal absenteeism.
Butt fever went away.
You know, it was a longer season. We might have seen a reoccurrence for next weekend, but that butt fever just really, really overwhelmed our school. We've hired on a new kindergarten teacher and a student aide, and they've assimilated into our faculty quite well, accepted the challenges, and worked really hard to learn their jobs, but they're doing a fantastic job. I'm really pleased with our new addition, and appreciative of being able to find such good people in our community that want to be a part of our school. Perhaps the biggest highlight to share, in 2008, our school-wide, let me get the right term, in the end-of-year testing, our CRT, for the whole school test scores, our averages in language arts is an 88% school-wide. And in math, we were at a 90%, and that's pretty tough to beat. But in 2009, our school-wide average in language arts was raised to 95%, and our math was raised to 92%. That helped us to once again make AYP, and has qualified us for a recognition that I'm sure the superintendent will be bringing up in his discussion, if that's already been part of your packet. I can't remember the official designation. We can leave that for superintendent, but certainly a wonderful recognition of a lot of things. And when asked, you know, how do we do this as a Title I school, I just have to really look back to our incredibly talented teachers who love their kids and work. And there, along with those teachers, we've got some incredibly gifted, well-trained teacher assistants, paraprofessionals in our classrooms that we were really able to work well and identify individual students' needs and be able to work to address those. this is the third year that we've held our student staffing meeting, where about on a six-week basis, we meet around either the faculty room table or in the library, and each for about 45 minutes, I sit with my resource teacher, my Title I coordinator, and each teacher, and the aides that are assigned into those individual classrooms, and we go through their class list. We look at the most current data of what's happening in their progress monitoring with the DIBL in their reading scores, what type of challenges they've identified just by classroom observations, who do we see that's maybe not quite catching on to the concepts, and then we brainstorm with the aides. The aides can provide feedback with the students that they are working with and the interventions that they're using, and we're able to compare notes and then revise or modify the attention that we're working with or direction we're working with each individual student. And this is not limited to our struggling students, but also to help make sure we're meeting the needs of our students that are not struggling, but maybe struggling with boredom more than they are with academics. And so looking at ways we can challenge all levels of students in these staffing meetings, and that has certainly helped me to know real closely where each individual student is, and it's allowed perhaps the genesis of this whole idea was noticing that our aides would come in, they would do their magic for 35 to maybe 60 minutes in a classroom, and then they would move on to the next room. And there was never really an opportunity or finding an opportunity where the teacher and the aide could sit down and compare notes. This was not scheduled. And so, much like two shifts in the night, many things were happening. It was easy for people to point fingers and say, well, you're working with that one. They're not succeeding because you're not doing your part. Well, around the table, it's a small enough table that when you start poking fingers, it comes back at you real quick. So definitely a very meaningful time, and it's one of the few meetings that when we schedule it afterwards, the teachers, on many occasions, and several of the teachers voice appreciation. And I'm not really accustomed to receiving too much appreciation for meetings that I have to schedule. So these are some of the rare ones.
How frequently are those done? I forgot.
6 weeks. Not every 6 weeks. We try to get those so that we started out every 4 weeks and just found that we just didn't have enough data. We stretched it out to every 2 months and found that we wanted to have it close enough to parent-teacher conferences that we were able to have current information to share with parents and to help us with our instruction frequent enough, but not overkill. And we hire a substitute for the day that'll come in who will be assigned and just float from classroom to classroom as we pull them in. It's been very good. Another component I think that's really helped our test scores, and I forgot about mentioning this the other week when we were visiting, is we really work hard on teaching accountability in our testing. I'm just a firm believer that our students are learning, and I want their test scores to reflect that they are. And so we hold them accountable, and so we have teachers that spend a lot of time teaching techniques and strategies, but then such as on their math section, I was in a sixth grade class today, and the students had to do their work, or had to take a test. It was a written one, but on the other sheet, their work was divided in grids. So in box 1 and 2 and 3, they had to demonstrate how they calculated each problem. In the core testing, they go in with a blank sheet of paper that they're expected to turn that in, and next to question 1, it shows, this is how I figured it. And when you do that grades 3 through 6, it really helps slow down the students that just like to click and move on, and just how quick. Back in the days when we used to do the Scantron, what clever designs can you draw, what patterns can you make, this reduces that. And we have enough supervision that during the testing to really encourage those students to make sure that they at least show how they came up with C. Whether C is right or wrong, we can't determine, but at least we know they've taken the time. So these are some of the things that we've really worked with. A lot of hard work has helped make that possible, as well as just a great, we have a great appreciation for the hard work that our district staff puts in on our behalf, to have them and know that their support and backing is very helpful as an administrator, to watch as the budget issues were addressed last spring. It was awfully reassuring just to know that everything was being done with the intention of doing what was best for children, for best for our schools, even though maybe the decisions were, there's no maybe about it. They were hard decisions that had to be made, and we appreciate the support and the time and effort that goes into making those decisions and the research and the homework that's just done. And thank you all for your support for what we do at Brandon Elementary. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to field questions if you have them.
Well, just thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
You have a real feeling of cohesiveness with the staff when you come here, and I think that is definitely contributing to the success that you have.
We've broken down quite a few barriers over the years where there used to be a lot of territory, and we worked hard to break that down so that we're all on the same page, same team, working with some of the same kids, with the same outcomes in mind.
And the same goals. So. Oh, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I stop by, try to make it at least once every 2 weeks to have a little chat with Brian and maybe to take him out to lunch. And I am so impressed.
You're showing favoritism. You don't come take me out to lunch.
Well, it's too far to come. Okay. You come to Theranum. And the atmosphere and the congeniality and so on that you see each time you're in here is just remarkable.
We look forward to hiring new staff and bringing new people in. Boy, it sure is scary sometimes to roll the dice and what is this going to do to our team?
Mm-hmm.
But boy, we sure lucked out this year to have some really solid people that we can
work with. Terrific. Thank you again. All right, we'll turn the time over to you for your report.
There's been so many deaths in the county lately, I'm afraid I'll miss somebody if I... Behind me is the one. We also had Janice Clarker, Transportation Secretary, whose husband passed away, I think, since her last board meeting. But I would like to recognize also the death of a former educator, Mr. Roger Curtis. And Mr. Curtis taught for us for 30 years in the elementary school in Orangeville. Matter of fact, he was my fourth grade teacher, and then I had the opportunity to serve as his principal for a few years before he retired. But do recognize that he did pass away and the work that he did, what he contributed to the school district over those 30 years. If you're aware, we did close Cleveland Elementary School mid-October. Had I known the kind of press that it would draw, I would have maybe thought twice. If you're going to close a school, make sure you do it when there's a national disaster or some kind of other news event going on. It was kind of a media circus for us, something that I thought was a simple solution to a local rural problem. But we did have 187 students and 102 of them gone at 54% absenteeism for 2 days. So we didn't make that decision. We closed for 3 days, and apparently it helped. We also did have... The local church community in Cleveland Elmore work with us in canceling youth and primary activities, and also the county recreation in closing some of their activities in that area to keep kids at home. But we did come back to school the next Monday with from 102 down to 36, and then the other day I think they had seven or eight gone. I did petition the state superintendent, and forgive me for misspelling WAVE, but I was waiting for me to text.
I was going to, too.
State superintendent, we did petition him, the state board, to waive those 3 days for students based on a certification that they would get their 990 hours in that they're required by law. They did grant that. Our faculty, our teachers, and aides, and lunch, we only have one lunch person down there. They will still need to put in their contract time. Mr. Clark is working with them to make that as productive as possible. Looking at student achievement data and curriculum development and some cleaning in the lunch area and material prep, whatever they can do to get those 3 days in, but they will need to put in that contract time. So we got through that one. Hope we don't have to do it again. But I guess if we have to, we'll have to. The state superintendent, actually, I think we helped the state office because they've been extremely concerned and nervous about this. It kind of broke the ice, I guess, because they questioned me a lot, or the state superintendent questioned me a lot about what my feelings were about these makeup days and what's too many to make up. Or to waive, I should say. And of course, my suggestion to him was that he looked at the 990-hour rule, and if a school can get the 990 hours in, then they should be able to waive the 180-day rule to to compensate for that. If it goes beyond that, then I think you'd probably have to make those days up somehow. But they were very supportive. I did get a call from the State Office of Education during that time asking how they could help, trying to collect information. I received a call from the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, wanting to know, get details, and they were very supportive of what we had done. Their recommendation has always been that we don't close schools to contain the swine flu. I guess their feeling is that if you keep the sick kids home and the well ones at school, you keep them separated and you're not spreading it. Whereas if you close school and kids are out in the community playing with friends or door-to-door or doing other activities, that it will spread faster. But it worked out. And the 20-minute interview for Channel 2, the 5 seconds they gave me, they didn't even say to get the important things I said.
That's the way it goes.
I told him not to come. It wasn't newsworthy. And he said, I'll either come and talk to you or I'll go Cleveland, go door to door. And so I invited him to my office. And he still went down to Cleveland, door to door. Or at least he went to the city hall, and Jamie Jensen, bless her heart, convinced him not to go door to door, but called the PTA president who met him at the school, and she did a great job in talking with the news media. So
before that, kind of had a couple of teachers.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Well, I said no too.
Oh, the sister
did too. We did receive a letter from the state superintendent. Two of our Title I schools are being recognized for their high level of academic achievement in language arts and math. I think I sent you a copy of that letter. Both Farron Elementary and Huntington Elementary are being recognized as they're calling Utah High Performing Title I Schools recognition is what it is. And in order to get that, they have to achieve adequate yearly progress or AYP in both math and language arts for the previous 2 years as a Title I school, achieve at or above the Utah average in language arts and math in the most recent assessment, and then of course be approved by the superintendent for that recognition, which I gladly did. But I would like to commend both of those schools and their principals and their faculty and staff, those specialists who work with those kids, the Title I people, all of those who have worked so hard, and commend them for that, for what they're doing for kids, and also for this recognition that was given by the State Office of Education. I think it's well deserved.
So do I.
So I just mentioned that. And
fantastic. And
congratulations.
On behalf of the people that worked hard to do it, thank you for your kind words.
And it's extremely, and I have to, Farron Elementary scores were outstanding. Huntington's were really good. But, I do have to commend Huntington Elementary in particular simply because of the fact that they have a self-contained special education unit there. And those scores count in just with all the rest of them. And then, of course, their high Hispanic population and challenges they face with ELL. I really think that both schools would be commended, but Huntington certainly has some challenges that no one else has, and I certainly want to recognize that, what they do. Just for your information, the Utah School Board Association conference, January 8th and 9th, I think Jared is going to probably be contacting you about the registration for that and getting the reservations made. Governor Herbert, I keep wanting to say Huntsman, but it's Herbert, has declared November 19th a Support Professionals Day in Utah to recognize support staff employees. We certainly want you to be aware of that it has been by proclamation declared Professional Day, Support Staff Day in Utah. And also, there's a Governor's Education Summit scheduled for December 9th, or December 10th. From 9 to 2 at Salt Lake Community College. I don't have a lot of information. I think that the superintendents and board members will be invited, those who want to attend. But I can't give any more information right now. When I get it, I'll get it to you as quick as possible if you're interested in attending that. This is an annual event that he has, the governor's had, Generally, they'll have a panel discussion by superintendents and business leaders and others, and they'll have speakers. And the governor usually gets a couple of minutes in and then leaves. I'll get you more information on that as I can. So, we are having a training at the district office. It's not on my list. I did send it to you, though. On November 17th, in place of our administrative council, we're having a training for administrators and supervisors, and any of you who would like to attend. It's on crucial confrontations training. It's Rick Nielsen out of Meadville School District who is training that program, and it's on how to work with people in situations where there needs to be a discussion about performance, about keeping promises, about following through, about accountability, and doing it in a way where you can maintain positive relationships with them. And that'll be an all-day training on that day, and any of you are certainly invited to come as board members to
participate. So do you need us to let you know if we're planning on coming?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No.
Those are fantastic books. The sister book to this is Critical Conversations, which is a very well-written, information-rich.
I will have a book for you if you come, but there's no reading you have to do ahead of time.
What time does that begin?
It starts at 8:30 in the boardroom.
Conversations.
Go.
Critical Conversations.
Yeah, there's Critical Conversations and Critical Confrontations. They're the same authors, but there's two programs.
I'm planning on coming, barring any unforeseen.
It's
really good.
From 8:30 until 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Rick Nielsen is the elementary supervisor with Meadville School District, but he has a certified trainer in this program. It's normally a 2-day training, but we've condensed it to 1 day. So I think that's all that I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Business Administrator's Report.
I don't have a lot to say. I've spent the last month doing what you already
the auditor.
Already had an hour, didn't he? We finally convinced John to eliminate all Macs in the district and go strictly to PCs.
Do I believe that?
I wouldn't.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. I missed the memo.
The day that happens, the day the world ends.
I'd be shocked.
I don't think I should go back to the PC now that I've learned how to work spaces.
Do you really not have anything additional? Well, again, compliments on the hard work you did on the report. I know that's a lot of work.
Oh, I did have one real quick thing. December 3rd, we have the Inclusion Center in Salt Lake coming to do an equity training at Green River High School. This will be for 4 hours of training for students and then a 3-hour after-school training for faculty and staff on diversity. We're having a few issues down there with an incident that happened last spring that we are bringing them in to do some training.
They come from where?
It's called the Inclusion Center. It's a private company. The state office contracts with them a lot to do these kinds of trainings. It was State Office of Education that recommended them and put us in touch with them, a fellow by the name of Zamora. They do a lot of this and seem to be really good at what they do from what we can tell. And so they will be there, I think December 3rd was the day, in the morning from 8 to 12 with students, and then from 3:30 to 6:30 with the faculty. And any of you, I'm sure if you'd like to travel down and sit in on it, be welcome to do that.
Okay. Thank you for the information. We'll probably hear the update after it's finished.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Do we have anything additional? Do we have any closed meeting items?
No, we don't have any.
Then we would entertain
I would make the motion that we adjourn.
All in favor? Aye.
Wow. This is the way we like to hold our meetings.
Yes,
it is. I apologize for last year. This is the first.
This is the first of all.
And the year before?
The year before was pretty. I think there was some executive session things, but the rate of business was pretty
low. That's true.
So.
Yes, we like it that way too. Yeah. I'm not planning on driving to Green Mountain for this, but I would like to hear about it. But I would like to go to that, that one, that sounded like it would be good. Yeah, I'm planning on it. No. Thank you. Yes, this is the motion. Yes, out of the court side. Yes. They changed the opening session to Thursday night.
They always have a keynote speaker on Thursday night.
Yeah, the keynote speaker, if I remember right.
I noticed that they didn't have a keynote that morning.
Yeah, it's the night before.